Okay.
Yeah, really sorry, Mike. I've completely unprepared because I've just seen your message. So, just seen the invitation to join. So I'm sort
Yeah.
of like, I was just about to start some schoolwork, but that's fine. I'm very happy to talk rather than schoolwork.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So, anything you want to
Regina? Oh, her mic's not working at all.
It's not working at all. There is a question, but I'll answer it in a minute.
Okay. Is that the one that's written up here on
Yeah,
the group
chat
chat? Happy to
thingy.
run, happy to go with that if you wanna
Okay.
talk about
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think it's the same question in terms of that I think you've asked a few times. I've been practicing. I feel God's presence when I'm going to the ark or to wisdom, but I don't see anything yet. I think the key is not to get hung up over that. You know, if whether it is, whether you're sensing the thing is that you're having an experience or an encounter, you know, and that's really the key to ongoingly. You know, growing in it, practice. You know, if you can, you know, if you activate your imagination, you begin to see things through your imagination and use that as a doorway. You just have to keep practicing. You know, when you close your eyes, can you picture something in your mind or get an impression in your mind? That's how you practice getting the visual sides activated. You have to keep engaging in that so that you can begin to see things in a more visual way, as a because that becomes a doorway into it. But if you're sensing God's presence, you know, if you can hear him talk to you and you can sense his thoughts in your mind, then that's a big first step into then experiencing it. And I think sometimes it's just we don't recognize those things sometimes as being God. You know, we expect it almost to be, well, a burning bush type experience rather than actually, well, thoughts came into our mind or an impression or a picture came into my mind. And everything goes on in the mind. You know, every single thing we ever experience is interpreted in our mind, in our brain. We just have to learn to tune into the spiritual ones from the inside out, as well as the normal ones like seeing and hearing and tasting and touching and smelling that come from the outside in. These signals are coming from the inside out, from our spirit, and God communicates to us in our mind through our spirit. Some people will be more tuned to a particular way of experiencing that. Some people are more sort of right brain creative and visual. And so it is pictures and things that they tend to get, or visionary type things. Some people, it is more a sensing, a feeling, or impressions, or you know, the thoughts that come into your mind. It's taking captive those thoughts and engaging them, and that's the key. Sometimes those thoughts are glimpses of something that we just dismiss, or we don't think are important, or we actually don't think that's God, when it is, and God is speaking to us with his thoughts. We have to get hold of them, focus on them, begin to tune into them, and then enter into that by listening and talking and listening and talking in a conversation. And then going to the next step of that to begin to picture Jesus. In a sense, if you want to have a visual encounter with Jesus, well, he promises to be with you and never to leave you. We know that means he's on the inside of us. But we can also picture him being with us. So, you know, actually have a chair next to you, close your eyes, and picture him sitting next to you, and then talk to him. You know, just build up the level of practice and the level of experience that you get as you go forward. You know, and don't be sort of pressured or over concerned about, well, I'm not getting full on visions, you know. That develops, and it may be that you are more of a sensory, impressionary person, and you will get the senses that will go. I mean, in a sense, when I step in by faith, and we all have to activate faith in everything we do, so we have to engage by faith. And I think sometimes people say, well, do you just do it by faith? Well, of course I do. If I don't do anything by faith, God won't respond and reward that faith. So I have to choose to believe that when I speak to him, he's going to hear and he's going to listen. When I choose to step into the realms of heaven, I have to believe that my spirit is going to engage that because he's invited me to come up here. Then I need to tune into what my spirit is revealing about what I've done by faith. And that may come as thoughts, it may come by impressions, it may come by knowing. You know, majority of my encounters in the realms of heaven, my spirit is there, my mind is here. But my spirit is communicating to my mind here. You could even think about it as a whole flow of tongues, the language of the spirit communicating to me where it is. No, it's me. You know, it's my spirit. I'm there, but I'm also here. Just like Jesus in John 3:13, he was in two realms, but able to flow in communicating from one to the other. That's what we're learning to develop. And so now, when my spirit is there, and I'm here doing something else, I have to just learn to receive the revelatory information that's coming. For me, it's like knowing. I know where I am, and if I choose to describe that, then it's a description. You know, I can describe the angelic realm. I can describe the throne. I can describe the mountain that I'm sat on, that type of thing. But actually, I don't need to do that unless I'm trying to engage with somebody else and explain what I'm seeing. I just know. You know, like I look into the spiritual realm around someone and I see their angelic angels or the sort of atmosphere that's around them as the colors and the fragrances they're giving off in the spirit. You know, I can describe it, but I can do it with my eyes open. Now, if I chose to close my eyes and just say, okay, I want to try and engage in where I am right now so that I can visually tune into it, I can look to do that. And the more practice of activating, the easier that gets. And sometimes it's just like a very ecstatic experience when you're in a trance. And that does happen, you know, where it's something where it's like I'm just there. But that's generally the exception, not the rule, because we have to be doing a whole lot of other things during our daily life that we couldn't do that with. Like, you know, if I went into a trance driving up the motorway, I would be in trouble very quickly. So I have to just learn to tune in and draw from the revelation that I'm receiving. Now, sometimes God wants us to experience something or something new and we have an engagement, and that's great. You know. But everything starts by a step of faith, believing, and then engaging in what we're believing in whichever way comes the easiest to begin with, and then just practice developing the other senses as we do. But you have to practice a lot. You know, you've learned how to see because you've been seeing for all your life. You've learned how to hear because you've been hearing all your life. We haven't been tuning into these spiritual senses for that long, so we have to develop the abilities, and then it becomes the pathway that we can just engage back into, because it's part of us. Those memories are not just wiped out and gone because they're of no use. They're retained and they become a pathway of engagement. You know, like, you know, when I was learning to drive a car, I had someone who was teaching me as a driving instructor, and they told me what to do and reminded me often, keep looking in the mirrors, keep thinking what gear you're in, keep being aware of the road, be aware of other drivers on the road, make sure you're not going over the speed limit. You know, look in your side mirrors, look in your back. It was all a process of me learning how to drive by someone instructing, then me practicing. Now, when I passed my test, no one now sits in the car telling me what to do next, other than my wife sometimes, as backseat drivers sometimes do. But generally, I just do it automatically, instinctively. I don't have to think, look in the mirror, check what gear you're in, what speed are you going in. I just do all that as a, just a process of driving because I've been doing it for a long time. So it's exactly the same when we engage these things in the spirit. We learn how to engage, and then once we've learned, we just begin to continue doing it until we become so familiar with it, we just do it without thinking or without having to try. You know, I don't have to try how to drive. I just get in the car, turn the key in the engine, and drive away. I don't even think about what I'm doing. I just automatically do it. So, you know, it's just how that works. But it does take some effort and energy to put into it and building up those abilities by continuing to do it. Like you would in any situation in life, if you want to do something better, you practice it a lot, so you get better at it. Now, I think the enemy will always try and put doubt and unbelief into our mind by giving us that thing, well, either you can't see anything, or, well, it's all in your head and you're just making it all up. And those are sort of two ends of the extreme. And they're both trying to create doubt that it isn't real. Well, I know if God has said, come up here, and I know by faith I engage that, I know that faith always pleases God and that God rewards those that pursue him in faith. So I am going to act on that because that I know that's what God's like. God is not going to withhold or hold back relationship from me. He will operate on the basis of my choice to believe and activate it by faith. Now, okay, yeah, a lot of us have had involuntary experiences when we've been in worship, and you know, and sometimes you know those have been quite powerful experiences. But this is learning how to encounter God all the time in our daily life, and those experiences aren't as powerful as the ones that, in a sense, are out of the blue. Wow, that just happened. These are something that just becomes a lifestyle and who I am. You know, and then it's just normal and natural as anything else I'm doing to be engaged with God, experiencing him. Now, there are some things I do to activate that every day. I open my first love gate. You know, I yoke myself to Jesus. I drink the living water. I give the seat of government and the rest to God. I step into the realms of heaven, present myself as a living sacrifice so that I can then engage the ark and be transformed and become more like him and all those things and know what he wants me to do on a daily basis. You know, I do some things, but they're just a pathway that's now just my way of engagement. People can develop their own pathways for those engagements and find the ways that work for them. That works for me because I believe, you know, you need to open and give God a new invitation every day because yesterday's gone. And now today is a new fresh day, and it's like daily take up your cross and follow him. So I do believe there are some things we need to do every day as a sign that we are looking to be engaged in his will and purpose for us, and we're surrendered to that so that I'm not doing my thing but I'm doing his. And for me, there are certain things that help me do that, but generally I'm just looking for the direction that my spirit will lead me in so that I can engage in intimacy and then begin to outwork that in authority in the realms of heaven. But you know, I have practiced a lot, so it is something which, you know, now is something which is very, very second nature. I don't really have to think anymore about it. I just do it, you know, and I think that's the key. I just do it, you know. But it becomes like that to people once they've done it more and more and more and more. Yeah.
I think it's interesting, Mike, that a number of us have been on this journey for a number of years, but not actually consolidated doing what you're teaching. And the involuntary is really great, but I think a lot of us have thought that sort of doing it on a voluntary basis wasn't, not thought that, but not consciously thought that, but believed it was all involuntary. And there's a big difference between doing that and actually choosing to engage. And I think the big battle that I'm picking up from people that I know, and it's also in my thinking sometimes, not very often, because I've been pursuing it for a bit now, but is this doubt that comes in and robs us of believing that if we're doing something by faith, then Jesus is honoured by that and God is pleased with that. And I was talking to somebody last week who was expressing that they want to hear God and being really upset about it, but actually that they felt they weren't, but actually it's a person who really does hear God and has often spoken into situations and yet was so discouraged. And I thought we're all subject to that attack from the enemy, aren't we? That, you know, we do doubt and we do think that our thoughts are not from God and so forth, and yet he is in the process of sanctifying our minds and renewing our minds. And so yeah, just kind of throwing that into the mix.
Absolutely. I mean, I think doubt, unbelief are things which just are the enemy's tools. You know, that's what he does to try and hinder us all the time. If he can get us to doubt, then we're not operating in faith, and then our access is blocked, because God always responds and only responds to faith, effectively. It's like, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, in a sense, it's like if he gets us to doubt, then we're already hindered in experiencing it. And I think part of the problem is, I think people use language that's very descriptive in a sense. Well, God spoke to me the other day. And I was talking to God the other day, and it's like, yeah, but how? Oh, that was a thought in my mind. And people who think that actually God showed up in front of someone and they were just talking face to face, because that's what it sounds like. If I were to say, well, I talked to you, Jane, well, the impression would be we would be communicating either on a phone or by video or by face to face encounter. It would be obvious, because we're used to that language. So when someone gets up, oh, God showed me this, people don't actually go into the description of how God showed them that. They just say, God showed me this, as if everyone really understands how that works, because he showed me something. Well, was it an impression? Was it a picture? Was it a vision? Was it a dream? Was it something he just spoke to me and told me? All those things can be valid, but we just say things like, God spoke to me, or God said this, or God showed me this, without actually going into the details. And the enemy will always try and make us feel less adequate than other people. And that means that when someone says, well, God doesn't speak to me like that, or God didn't show me anything like that, when in reality, God is speaking and communicating to us all the time. And we've probably received so much more than we realize, but we probably haven't just caught hold of it and focused on it to apply it and to engage it, because we've just not caught it. You know, taking captive every thought is not just the negative thoughts. That's actually the positive ones that come from God. Take it captive, grab hold of it, focus on it, and then begin to think about it and then engage in it. Oh, that thought came from God. I mean, I went through the same process of, you know, not really thinking this was God speaking, you know, particularly when I first tried to learn to meditate in the Word. You know, it was like I had all these thoughts coming into my mind that I was almost trying to dismiss, because they were getting in the way of me meditating in the Word. Well, actually, it was God talking to me and the Holy Spirit revealing the Word to me, and I was trying to dismiss them because I thought they were just thoughts that were getting in the way, because I had an expectation of something different from the reality. But it's all thoughts in our mind, or pictures in our mind, or everything else in our mind. That is where it all is. So I've been through the same process, you know, and I've had to overcome the same obstacles. You know, I've had to build up, yes, they are God's thoughts. Now I'm going to focus on those thoughts, and now I can engage in those thoughts as a conversation rather than just an interjection into my mind from one way. Now I'm going to engage in it. I'm going to talk to God like he's listening, and he is, and then I'm going to expect that he's going to answer back. Now, if I ask him something that's like explain the meaning of life to me, then, you know, I might not tune into that immediately. But if I ask him simple things to build up the relationship, you know, how are you thinking? How are you experiencing? You know, what do you think about me? You know, is there anything you want to tell me? Is there anything you'd like me to know today? Simple questions that just build the confidence that God is speaking to us. And then, you know, you do get experiences then which confirm things and are affirmatory of things, you know, and those are great, you know, and when you do have some sort of encounter that's like a trance type thing, or you just are there, then that's amazing. And, you know, and I have had those experiences, but I don't crave after those experiences. It's the relationship I want. And I think we just have to be careful that we're not dismissing the relationship that we've already got because it doesn't seem to match up to what someone else is sharing. You know, it's great, you know, Ian Clayton shares, well, I did this and I did this, but he doesn't actually explain exactly how that is coming to him, in what sort of way. And so we don't know exactly because we're not him. You can only actually experience it the way you experience it. And I think, you know, when we're beginning this journey, we just need to learn to perceive, because that's the key. At the end of the day, having the spiritual perception to discern where I am, what's going on, what's God saying, what God's doing, what do I need to do, is what makes sense. Because, you know, some people have had some amazing visionary encounters, but they don't know what they mean. And without knowing what they mean, then they are actually meaningless. I'd much rather have God tell me something and show me something in a way that I understand. Now, I understand sometimes our spirit receives things that our mind can't catch up with yet, and they're inexpressible things. And that's fine. And, you know, I love that, and I love my spirit engaging, and I have revelatory things in my spirit that are not yet released to my mind, and they get released sometimes even doing these sort of sessions. But my relationship is the important thing. My relationship with God is the key, not the experience, you know, because people do tend to pursue the experience, and that will be putting the horse after the cart, if you like, or the cart before the horse, because actually it's the relationship that the experience is about, you know. And it's like, well, I want a trance. Well, if you try and induce a trance, then you're going to be operating illegally and trying to go in, that Jesus said, the wrong way. You have to come through the doorway, which is relationship with him in the spirit, and therefore we must operate in the way that he directs us, not trying to manipulate or make something happen. You know, yes, we can activate our imagination by using simple pictures or Bible stories or things, just to open the door to the experience, but not trying to create spiritual experiences which are things that only he can do. You know, I can step in, only he can put me into a trance. And if I try to put myself into a trance, then I believe I would be operating spiritually in an illegal fashion. And that's where dangers can come in, where we begin to try and do something which is not right. Now, I know people would say, well, all the stuff you're saying is all you trying to do it. No, I'm just engaging by faith in the way which has developed in me out of my relationship with God. When I first meditated in the Word, it was God who began to speak to me in that way. You know, I wouldn't have even started meditating in the Word of God unless God had in some way used someone else or got over to me the need to do it, and I did, and then the relationship has developed out of that and grown deeper and deeper and in more diverse ways of encounter. You know, but I would never undervalue or overvalue one sort of encounter over another, because the main thing at the end of the day is I am aware of God's presence, I'm aware of his will for me today, and he's aware of my surrender and yieldedness to outwork that will, and so that I can engage. You know, and sometimes you do get little things which are little kisses, we call them, from God that just give you confirmation. You know, it's like I had a kiss, you know, a few years ago when someone asked about angels. We were talking about angels. I don't see angels. And I thought, okay, well, I said to the guy, I'm going to pray that God will show you an angel, or you'll get an angel encounter in some way. And so I thought about that, and, you know, I thought about, well, you know, this, I was just, you know, experimenting with how these things work. So I sort of thought, okay, well, perhaps my angel can go and visit him. Then that would be great. And the next week he came back and he said, I had this dream, and in this dream, this angel that looked like this came and visited me, which was exactly what the angel was like. So I thought, wow, that's really good. That's great. Because that's a confirmation. You know, God got me to do some things a couple of weeks ago, and I've been doing them regularly since, in terms of releasing a sound from heaven and releasing it as a frequency of blue light that which will reach people and touch people. Now, I didn't know what he was saying I didn't know how when he told me to do it. I just thought, okay, I'll be obedient. I'll get on my throne and I'll release blue light as a sound which will call people into intimacy or draw them closer to him. And as I did it, I had the impression that the crown that was on my head, the blue gem, just started to radiate light. That was the impression that I had that happened. But that's all I did. I mean, it wasn't anything else. I just did that. Then I met a friend of mine last week, another leader in the area here, and we were walking out of a meeting, and he said to me, I've been experiencing these blue lights, these dancing blue lights around me. You know, so I thought, oh, that's really good. So I said, well, that's funny you should say that, because I did this the other day. And I met him the next day, actually, and I said, look, this is what I've been saying and declaring, and this is what God told me to do. And as I read it, he just said, I'm just resonating with that. You know, again, that was a kiss. Did I actually need that? No, but actually did what God confirm something that was a little bit out there, because I wasn't sure, you know, how is that going to work? What is that going to do? As I, you know, how do I release a blue light from heaven that's going to touch people here? So it was something that was, you know, just one of those little kisses that God gives that just brought confirmation and encouragement. You know, I didn't doubt, but I also didn't know. So, you know, so that was just that God saying, hey, keep going. What you're doing does actually work. You know, because it sounds really bizarre, doesn't it? You know, some of the things that we get asked to do, but actually it does work.
That's a really good point, actually, between the difference between not knowing and doubting, because yeah. One is legitimate and one isn't, if you look at it really strictly according to Scripture. So if you're coming by faith and you're doubting, but not knowing is okay.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know how that works. I just know God asked me to do something. I didn't know what to do, but I let my spirit just say some things in terms of, okay, I'll make this declaration. I send out this blue light out of heaven that's going to call people. Just exactly what God told me to do, I did. I activated it. I don't know how that works, how it was supposed to work. Was that going to be a blue light? Was it just going to be a frequency that carried a message or a drawing? No idea how it actually works, but I trust that it was going to work. And then God showed me, well, for this person, he saw blue lights, you know, around him. Which was how it worked for him. Someone else might just get their spirit or their heart drawing them maybe towards something, towards God in this way. I don't know. But again, you know, it didn't make me feel, oh, yeah, well, now I understand. It just made me feel, hey, God loves me, and he's just giving me a kiss to just encourage me in that, you know, which I think God does at times. He just wants to encourage us and to show, look, he appreciates what we do, particularly when we're taking a step of obedience and we're just stepping out, doing something that it's just like, okay, I don't know, but I'm going to do it because I feel God's telling me to do it. Then it's that encouragement that he's pleased with that. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, it's,
I think it's interesting because one of the things I've discovered in listening to what you're saying and engaging with some of the activations that you've done, especially a really early one when you did the Firestones, and then there was another one, I can't remember which one it was now, but and kind of using those over and over again, what I felt was that was fine while I was learning, but God wanted me to open and wants us all to open our own pathway, like you were saying, and the more, because I felt like I was on your train, if you understand what I mean. I was standing on, being carried through on the anointing that you have and the pathway that you've made, but something shifted about, where are we now, January, just before Christmas, something shifted, and I started much more engaging on my own pathway, and kind of, it was as if God took me off a pathway I'd been on for a long time because it was a bit disorganized, put me on your train as you take me in, and then move me back onto my own pathway, so because I understood a bit more at that point, and I've been on that ever since. So, and my sense is really to get people into that place where they're trying to help them to get into that place where they're actually on their own pathway with God, and they have their own mechanisms, if you like to use that word, of engaging by faith, so that they know that when they do, that place is open up and everything else. So it's been quite an interesting experience the last 4 or 5 weeks, really. So I don't know if that resonates with you or not. So.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the key is, you have to introduce people to something, and you only have your personal testimony to introduce people to, and that's why we have a testimony that encourages others to believe that that can be for them, but it does have to be their own pathway. And you know, God, I think, in fact, it was Metatron in an encounter in the Garden of God on the Golden Mountain there, that he gave me a key and said, yeah, you can unlock the doors that enable people to experience, but then those experiences then have to become their own and become how it works for them, which is why I don't try and get very, very descriptive in those things, because I don't want people just trying to picture what I'm seeing or what I've done, because I know that many people's experiences will be symbolic to how God wants to communicate with them. And God uses certain things to communicate with me because he knows that I will understand or tune into them. Other people may see, have different experiences that they need to engage in. So I try and just open a pathway and then encourage people to follow that and then begin to find out how it works for them and how the particular pathways work for them. And you know, then what they see and what they do will be in line with what God wants to show them. You know, sometimes I can observe some of the things that are going on, but I don't really sort of want to get people trying to copy. And I think there is a danger in guided imagery, in that, you know, because I don't, in a sense, it's like, I know you want to be able to help people to engage, but in some of the things that are practices that I know go on, it's like people sort of try and go in together, and then they begin to share what the other person is seeing, and then they all try and see the same thing. I'm not convinced that's the best way. It's like, actually, you fix on your own encounter and let other people engage in their encounters, and then when you come back out of those encounters, yes, then share. And then it's like, oh yeah, I saw that. Because what God wants some person to see head on, he wants some person to see on the peripheral, and he wants to show them something else. So it's making sure that it's personal and real to each other, not just trying to guide each other according to certain things. And I know there's a throne of grace, and I know certain things are there. There is a temple, there is a tabernacle. Yes, we can engage around it. And yes, the four faces of God do manifest there when we begin to engage. But how we experience them and what God wants to show has to be something that's real and personal to each individual. And otherwise, I think there can be a danger that we people do just try and copy what someone else is seeing rather than try and focus on what God is trying to show them. You know, and I know people do have group encounters where they all see the same thing, which is great. But if you're all seeing the same thing and you're seeing each other, then in a sense, that's what happens. But if you're seeing something, you know, I know some people, it's like, well, go up here and go down here, then turn left and then turn right and turn then and go up here and go down there. And it's like, well, I'd rather take someone into the open door where the Lord is standing and say, Jesus, will you take us by the hand and lead us where you want us to go? So let Jesus lead us, and that he may take me to the ark, he may take someone else to a court of angels, he may take someone else somewhere else, because he's leading, and it's his direction. Even if it's like, okay, let's go to the ark, okay, Jesus, take us there and show each person what you want them to experience, rather than, well, I'm going to lead the exercise, and it's going to be how I determine things should go. I just want to open the door and help people get to that point where then Jesus will lead them. And, you know, when I do take people on a bit of a journey, I always say, if you want to stay anywhere because you're feeling this is the place you want to engage, whether it's the river or the waterfall or whatever it might be, then don't feel pressured to carry on and move on if you don't feel you want to. If you feel you want to stay where you are and that's what your experience is, then stay there. You know, but there are other people who may feel, actually, well, no, that I want to go further. You know, I want to go into the waterfall, or I want to go up the waterfall. I want to go. Where does that go? That's great. Just follow the leading of your own spirit. But it's trying to, as you say, helping people to develop this as a pathway for themselves, which becomes their series of personal experiences and encounters that's very real for them. You know, and I think that is such an important thing, because then people can then engage however they need to engage, you know. And I do believe a lot of some things are, even the places where we go, the way we see them is very much linked to how God will communicate to us. And some of them are symbolic, some of the colors, some of the things there, they're very symbolic for God's way of communicating to us. You know, and you find certain people have certain things. For me, it's all about water and rivers and waterfalls and gardens. I mean, that's what it tends to be. I don't go into mansions and big houses or great big things. Yes, I go into rooms. You know, and sometimes there are rooms within the mountain of God. I'll go into a particular room or engage. But generally, if I'm experiencing something, it's in the context of, it looks like a natural place of view, even though I know that it's supernatural in that there are fragrances and emotions that come with all the colors and the plants and the animals and the trees and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, that's how God has done. Now, I can only use that as my point of entrance for anybody else, because that's my experience. But what I encourage people is, actually, when you begin to engage, it may be very different for you. You know, and that's perfectly okay, and that's what it should be like. You know, and so, yeah, I totally agree with that whole thing. You know, we have to try and get people, because I don't want people dependent on me. I just want the doorway to be open and then for them to develop it themselves. Otherwise, I just become another mediator, and that's the last thing I would ever want to do. You know, I want to facilitate opening a door. Then it's up to people to go through the door. And, you know, the last thing I'd also want is, okay, well, I only go into these things when we have a hangout. No, we need to do this every day of our lives. This is something that has to become a daily lifestyle of engagement. You know, not just in a special occasion when we're in a group or when someone can do it or I do it then. No, all the time, you know, and that's so important for us to get hold of. You know, this is a lifestyle that we need to develop and live, not a series of some sort of experiences that we have without it being linked to real life. Because if it doesn't have any outward working in my life, I'm a gateway of heaven, so it needs to manifest around me. You know, the garden of my heart needs to be grown and cultivated so that this is who I become in wholeness with my spirit and soul and body together. You know, therefore I have to be that who manifests God's love and produces a vibration or a light or a frequency for my life, which will be an expression of who God is in me, that people will be drawn to God, not me. Because the reality is people should see my good works and be glorifying God in heaven, not in any way glorifying me. Now, if they give me some thanksgiving or praise or whatever, then that's great. I'll take that and I'll trade it for more glory for him, because it's about him, not me. And that, you know, is just part of learning the process. You know, and sometimes there are some really exciting things that happen and we get, wow, and amazing, and I'm caught up with that and I think about that and that's my focus for a while. But we mustn't never forget that it's all about relationship. You know, and everything has to flow out of that place of rest and relationship in him. Yeah, not doing things for that relationship, doing things from that relationship. You know, and that's the key. You know, it's about him.
I think what Regina's put about, she said she had a special encounter when she engaged with her first love gate, and I was thinking about that, because I think there's I don't know, when you were talking about doubt, I was thinking about how that is something that is part of the rubble in the gateways, isn't it, that we constantly have to deal with. And there are a number of people that I'm wanting to encourage and be encouraged by, and dealing with our own rubbish, in the sense that, you know, we take it to God and deal with those things. And I was just thinking about how the blockages are so often there, and you know, tell us so quickly that we can't do this and we can't do that. And I mean, I'm talking about things like emotion, trauma, those kinds of things that hang about if we let them. You know, so I've been really encouraged by the love gate stuff. You know, so
yeah, I mean, that you know, that whole love gate is the whole next module of the Engaging God manual. You know, and you know, I've done 5 sessions on it here, and I've got quite a few more to do, simply because it is such a key place of engagement. That's where we learn to relate to him, to invite him into our spirit, where we learn becoming one with him, you know, what it is to know the presence of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father, their different personalities, how they embrace us, how, as they're a bench of free, when I invite them into my spirit, when I come into agreement, I open up a window for that blessing to be released through my life. But there are blockages, you know, familiar spirits do often sit outside of our spirit gates trying to stop a flow. They often sit in our soul gates trying to control them, you know, and particularly if we've, you know, been involved in certain things in our life that the enemy can use as a legal right. You know, well, you've sought revelation a wrong way in the past and you've never repented of it. Okay, well, I'll repent of it then, so get lost, you know, because sometimes we do. A revelation gate, some of us have sought that in a wrong way in our past, and the enemy will use that, you know, as a legal blockage. But we only have to repent and renounce it, and he has no rights to remain, you know. And the same thing goes with other things, as you say, in our emotions. If our emotions are damaged and have been hurt by trauma and other things in our life, sometimes it's hard then to feel God's love and to feel and experience what it is to feel love, because we mistrust and other things. And I think in engaging the whole first love situation, it's key to experience what love is, you know. And yes, love is a choice that God has made to love us in spite of the fact that we were alienated from him, and he loved us before we were even physically created anyway. So it's an eternal love that he has for us. But also, he does want us to feel that emotionally. He does want us to experience the feelings of his embrace. You know, he does, because it becomes something which we're a whole person. If he's just going to engage the spiritual part of us, then we're not going to therefore feel the emotions or feel his touch in a tangible way. And he does want that, although obviously it's not the be-all and end-all, but he wants us to fully engage in him. And so our senses should all be involved in some way in the process. You know, sometimes that's why it's good to activate things with our physical body. Well, I'm going to lie down, or I'm going to do this, simply because we're saying, well, I'm going to engage. you know, I'm going to get my body to engage in this, stepping in and stepping out. You know, it's just so, look, I'm going to, by faith, activate everything so I can engage, you know, and then the rest of us then begins to go in on the engagement because we've taken a step of faith and God responds. You know, I mean, I think Ian Clayton said, you know, he was trying to step in and step out for like 18 months without seeing anything, you know, or experiencing anything other than, well, I'm going to step in. I'm going to believe I'm stepping in. I'm going to step in. Now, he obviously had some major blockages because of the stuff he was into in his life. And therefore, using visual images, going and walking into a door, walking through a door, standing in the threshold, going into a river and letting the river go all around you and all that stuff were helpful things to him because it activated the memory to experience it, you know, and gave him an anchor to something or a doorway into it. I personally didn't need to do any of those physical things, really. I just engaged and I activated the engagement, you know, in my imagination and in other ways. So it is very much an ongoing relational connection and development that certain things we can use as testimonies to help us ongoingly engage, you know. But we're all different, and he's made us different and unique. So let's make sure we respect that uniqueness and the value and worth that he puts on us by doing that. I'm not going to be like somebody else because he's made me, you know, and therefore I value that and I love him because of that, you know. And sometimes it's hard because of the stuff and the junk and the rubbish to really feel valued and, you know, and of that worth because of all the other things that have happened in our life. But the more we engage with him, the easier it then is to appreciate how he does feel about us, how he does see us, so we can see ourselves from his perspective, and then that changes how we think about ourselves, which is the whole process of renewing our minds. Our renewing our minds is not us thinking, well, what would I like to look like? I'm going to try and confess that, speak it out, positively confess it until I'm like it. It's actually, no, what does he say? What's his image of me? That's what I need to focus on, and I will become like what I'm beholding in looking at the image of how he says. You know, whether that is a series of revelations or whether it's a picture or just an impression, but this is how he feels about me. These are some of the thoughts that he has about me. This looks like this. In terms of a destiny or an outworking of a scroll, it's all about what he says and what he's always said from eternity so I can re-engage it. That's what will renew me into that image, not some image that I want to come up with myself. You know. And I think some of the positive confession movement type things has almost been, well, you confess what you want and you will get it because you've confessed it. Well, I want to confess what he wants. You know, that's my confession is, yeah, I look like this because you've created me. I have this destiny because you've created that destiny in me. And therefore, then I can become like that as I'm renewed and conformed to the image that he has always had for me. So I see myself the way he sees me, you know, and that's great. You know, it's a total change, you know, how we do things. We just do things from that place of relationship. You know, which frees us up, you know, somewhat from all those things that are holding us back and, you know, the things that people have said and the things that have happened to us and all those things, you know. Well, yeah. Okay. Oh, I think
is Ruth able to say anything? Because I feel like...
No, I don't know. I'm not sure whether she's there.
I'm here. Not.
Are you there, Ruth?
I'm here, but I can't get the your picture up. Yeah, I can't get the camera on.
That's all right, don't worry.
I've been listening to everything you've been saying. It's okay. all been very informative, very good. So thank you for sharing that. There isn't anything I need to ask at the moment, though.
Okay, that's fine. No problem. Yeah. Okay.
Except my little bit of confusion, which is not a spiritual issue. It's more a practical issue. It's a beautiful practical issue. As to... I've gone through all the materials, like I think I mentioned this before on the base camp, and I'm not sure where I'm meant to be now, what I should be looking at, or whether I need to go back and have a look at it again so it goes in at a deeper level, or...
Yeah, I would encourage you to keep practicing until it becomes such a lifestyle that you can do it automatically whenever you need.
Okay.
And just because there will be another module released in a month or so, which then goes on into the First Love Gate and that, which is we'll take what we've learned in the previous base camp and then begin to practice that in the way of engaging God within our own spirit and then build that whole thing up. And, you know, just allow your spirit to lead. You know, the exercises are all about personal engagement with God. So just personally engage with him and ask him, is there anywhere you would like me to go?
Okay.
Is there anything you'd like to show me? Is there anything I need to know right now that you can reveal to me? Just build the relationship, because that's the key. The exercises are just the sort of scaffolding to building the house. We have to live in the house. We don't need scaffolding.
Mm.
So there are means to an end, and that end is relational, and a relationship in which we can hear his voice and experience him and engage with him and therefore talk to him. You know, it's like lie down in the green pasture with him and ask him, is there anything you'd like to show me? Is there anything you'd like to reveal to me? I'm open. Please show me. You know, and then you're just going to follow your own pathway as this develops. You know, and you might develop your own secret place that God will show you. Hey, this is a place that is special to us. We're not going to let anyone else in here. You know, because I don't share what my secret place is like, because it's mine. it's like, yes, it's in my heart, but it's mine. You know, I go there myself. You know, I help other people to get to theirs, you know. So, don't be concerned. It's like, just keep practicing, but let the relationship that develops just lead you deeper themselves, because that's the key.
Great.
You know, it is being in intimacy with him at this point, you know.
Mm-hmm. Great. So. That's great. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay. All right. Okay, well, perhaps we'll...